Okay, thank you. I believe everybody enjoyed this special conference because we really focus not like a JSM. So when we talk about the high dimension, I think our conference actually is almost one dimension, right? But the JSM is high dimension, right? Of topics. Okay, I choose this topic is just because again it's for high dimension. So I'm not sure how high dimension we allowed for this topic and another for partial linear model is just because you know I started my statistical career from a partial linear model about 20 years ago. Right now I still speak on this topic. So anybody if they developed a new method for linear model, no matter low dimension or high dimension, I always try to if it works for partial linear model or other. So that's why I think this topic. So it will be actually very specifically for this very specific models. But very surprisingly, actually, we have three topics, pretty related to this partial linear model. One is for Shinkrich, and the second one, of course, is just the last speaker of this morning. So this is a joint work with Kenson Wang from Peking University and Zijin Cai from UC Davis. Okay, so first I will briefly mention what we will do and what's the model and what's the advantage. And so, and then we propose a profile forward regression and then the algorithm. We, of course, need to give a theoretical justification why the algorithm works. So so we approve screen consistency and also another interesting topic. I think the result is the profile consistency, which I will talk about in more details. And then simulation show you how the proposal works well and how consistent with our theoretical result. And give you a real data example, and finally discuss some open questions and so on. So, so this is a partial linear model. Actually, this means y and x linear relationship, but for some variables, y and u are actually non-linearly and. Of course, U can be not just one-dimensional, but for simplicity, we here just think about U is just one-dimensional. And because if U also two or three or high-dimensional, actually this will go back to curse of dimensionality, because the purpose of a partial linear model is trying to, for dimension reduction. So so in this model, we are actually most of the time actually interested to estimate beta and treat this unknown function as a nuisance parameter. But actually, the first paper by Engel, Rice, and this JASA paper, actually they are treated those as nuisance parameter, but they are interested in this non-parametric terms. So back to about 25 years ago, from 84 to 86, a couple of very important result got for this model. But right now, people probably think about the model is very it's kind of simple and the result is very transparent. But at that time, the result actually very substantial, very important, because for this partial linear model, intuitively think about when we have a non-parametric in a model, so it seems we cannot get a root n consistent estimate for parametric component, right? However, all works actually approve that even we have a non-parametric terms in our model, but the estimate of beta can still be root n consistent and also asymptotically normal. So this kind of surprise at that time. So the first method we classified. Basically, we classify as three categories. The first one is a partial surprise estimate So the idea is just you know, write down this objective function, then we have the estimate right in this form. So we have just like kind of pre-smooth, and somehow some people call it pre-smooth method. And then the second one is a partial regression smoothing estimate. And then the third one is the two-stage spline smoothing estimate. The difference actually I highlight use the red line. You know, for partial regression smoothing estimate, this is 2, this is 1, and this is 3, and this is still 2. So some people also use a backfitting. The backfitting estimate also give the same form as a partial spline estimate. The difference between partial spline estimate and the partial regression spline is, for this kind of form estimate, generally we need under smoothing. This is not good for non-parametric, because this give us some restriction. However, for partial regression spline estimate, this we don't need any under smooth restrictions. In one of my small paper in CSDA, I point out why for this kind of estimate we need under smoothing, but for this one we don't need. So if you Google just put a partial linear model, definitely we have got over 100 papers, but here I kind of selfishly just review what I did in the last couple of years. That's why, you know, I told you I'm still still on the partial linear model. So from different aspect, you know, about 10 years ago we studied the partial linear model, but when X is measurement with error. And in 2004, we also studied the same model, but we have a missing covariate for in X. And in 2007, we continue working on the same model but with missing Y. And 2009, we consider variable selection when X measured with error. So actually, this paper is kind of built up based on the first paper. But before 2008, Xie and Huang's paper, most all papers, and including in the literature, there mostly just focus on the finite dimension of X. And Xie and Huang in their 2008 Enos paper, there and also Helen Xiao's paper, there. Studying variable selection for partial linear model with a high dimension X. And in Xia and Huang's paper, they put this kind of assumptions. It means the dimension can approach to infinity, but the D square over N should be pretty small. Okay, so introduce some notation for easy to understand. I will not give any technical details. So suppose that we denote our X and Y and so on, and we call Xij as relevant variables if the corresponding beta j is not zero, and if X if beta j is zero, then we call that component is redundant or irrelevant variables. And then we are trying, for given any component xj1 to xjd star, we try to identify, you know, the relevant predictors. So suppose we have four models, right? This is D, and this is our true model. And so if we denote the size of model in this notation, that means, of course, we know D, but we don't know what the D0. And in our case, we try to, you know, of course, we try to find this is the two model. And when we talk about the high dimension, actually, this means D probably go to infinity pretty fast. And in our case, D0 may be fixed or can also go to infinity depend on n, but cannot too fast. We show you how D0 can be go infinity as well. Okay, so here we just use profile smoothing to try to transfer the model to the linear case. So actually this is the method proposed by Paul Spigman in his GSSB paper. So the idea actually, if we take a conditional expectation in the model and then use the original model minus that expectation equations, then we can get this this model. And so if we know this term and this term, that of course this is just the simple linear model. So the next issue is we just use the data to estimate this term and this term. So this is called pre-smoothing or partial regression procedure, and then we can validate on the new, we call it the new model in this form. So what we can do here, you know, we just one by one terms to do regression for xj against u. However, mathematically we can, you know, we can write it on, you know, for all x, the pre-smooth error can be written down in this form. So that means, you know, here if d is huge, it seems we need to do a lot of regression, right? However, we can just do once, and so got the new regression model y hat equal x hat and beta plus epsilon, and then we can use the procedure for linear model, for our partial linear model. And you know, when t is fixed, when d is fixed, you know, it can be easy to justify the estimate of beta is consistent and also asymptotically normal. However, in our case, our d is diverging, and also we are interested in to identify which x should be included in our final model. So this actually, the main body actually, paper or my presentation actually just the two slides, this one and the next one. So this is the main body. So the profile forward regression operator can be implemented in the three steps, and the key step actually is step two. So first, if we initialize our new model as like a, you know, empty set, and then we forward regression. In the first sub-step, we do evaluation. What that means? So for instance, if we already have a model m k minus one, then we pick up another j, the index j. Of course, this j should not be in this model, and we combine this j in the in our previous model, and then we just calculate this residual of some of square. So this is very easy, right? Just the linear regression, and then we after we do our evaluation, then we do a screen step. The most, so we try to identify which j we should include in our care groups. So we just you know, pick up that j which is smallest the least square, sum of square. So accordingly, our candidate model in the care step it should be this way. So we iteratively step two, and then we go to a solution path. So by iterating step two for n times, then we got a total of n nested candidate model with this form. So that means we are we just do n times we got our solution path, and then we need to justify. Are you sure you can, you know, get your true model including in your solution path? So we first just define, you know, what means the screen consistent. That means if we can pick up one element and the true model is a subset of this subset with probability approach to one for some k is smaller than n, then we call this a screen consistent. Because as you know, d is much bigger than n. However, we can pick up some k smaller than n. Then this of course that means the step we can use the k steps to get our the subset, which is a subset, you know, including the two models. So this is our definition. And then for our profile forward regression, we approve the two models should be in this subset with the probability convergence to one. And here, k is a constant independent of small n. And then next next slide, I will tell you what the these two constants, C0 and the X minimum. So again, the first result show, you know, the profile forward regression algorithm is able to detect all relevant covariates within these steps with probability attending to one. And so at this number, of course, is much smaller than the sample size n. And what is this quantity and this quantity? First, this is actually assume if the size of a true model is small, this number. That means the size of a true model can be go to infinity, but cannot too fast. Can go as the polynomial rate of sample size, but of course this should be smaller than one because the third item control, you know, this sign zero should be small, much smaller than one. And what is this number? Actually, this means the smallest of no zero coefficient should be not too small. Should greater than this one, you know. This of course it means you know, for this high dimensional case, the no zero coefficient can be converges to zero with n, but not too small. Of course, this is just for theoretical justification. And in reality, so if the model is kind of sparse, that means if d zero is fixed, that means this will be zero, right? And if also the smallest coefficient is also fixed, then this means this also is zero. So if both are zero, that means we can identify all relevant covariates with just a finite steps. And also, our rate actually is much sharper than the rate given by Kanzer in his JASA paper for linear model because we use the advanced scale. And another improvement is in the previous regions, most people assume x to be normal in for linear model. However, in our paper, we erase this assumption because for high dimension case, no people can guarantee all x normal. Even some x may be discrete. Okay, so in the previous theorem already show us we can get a totally n models and the two model should be contained in one of subset. But the next question is which model we should use for future variable selection, right? So in this next step, we use the BIC type of selection criteria actually proposed by Jianhua and Zihua in their biometric paper. So we use this criteria for wearables identify. So the difference from two traditional BIC is that we put an additional term to log D. Because if D is a finite, of course this term will go to zero with n go to infinity. However, because D also is a kind of function of n, so we suggest put this term here, and then the best model we just pick up the best model with the smallest BIC value. And then again, we also justify the two models should be contain or subset of some best model based on BIC with the probability 10^1. So this theorem usually ensure us we can exactly actually identify some subset, and our two model should be included with the best model. So this is again this is a screen consistent. However, we should also notice this is a screen consistent, but it's not a selection consistent. The reason is just because even for finite case, no people guarantee it is a selection consistent. For high dimensional case, we also point out that this is not realistically for selection consistent. And when we do this project, actually we also got a very very important byproduct is for this long parametric rate for profile regression, because as you know, for Silverman and Merck in their 84 papers prove a very important uniform rate of convergence for non parametric regression. However, for our case, because our dimensional also depend on n, so we finally approve our uniformly rate subjected to j and also u still has such a rate. This rate can ensure us our screen consistency. And this uniform convergence rate, actually independent on D, as long as this log D is smaller than this n to 3 over 10. So here, this just to show you how high dimensional we wrote. So the log D small this n polynomial rate. So actually, pretty we wrote exponential high dimensional. Okay, now let me show you some simulation result. So in our paper, we design simulation based on a couple of settings. So we try n from 50, 100, and 200, and the dimensional from 500, 1,000, and 2,000. We repeated 200 times, and we try three configurations. The first one actually the we use the setting from Jianqi and Jianqi and there are 08 paper, but we put additional long parametric term here. Actually, this function is continuous but not smooth at 0.5. And the second example, actually, this the linear path actually comes from Tip Schinari's paper, and we put non-linear terms as exponential 3 or u, and here we have three non-zero linear paths. In the previous one, we have 8, and in the third one, we again use Jingqin and Jianqing's resetting component symmetrical, and we still have a three non-zero component, and this is our nonlinear functions. So we calculate the beta hat and also sigma hat here, and when we evaluate the performance, we of course when we select the model based on our this setting, then we use the five measurement to evaluate how the performance. So we first one is the coverage probability. We define this as our coverage probability, and then also percentage of correct zeros, percentage of incorrect zeros, and the average size of the selected model, and finally relative estimate error. So the first four actually just to evaluate how, you know, for model complexity, and this one actually somehow just like to evaluate the model prediction performance. So this is for example one. So here we show you the result based on profile forward regression and also forward regression. That means we just treat that nonlinear term also as a linear term. So very easy, you can observe that, you know, but both procedure, you know, give us a similar pattern. However, you know, the profile forward regression procedure get a better result compared to forward regression. So in the next two tables, I just show the PFR. So this is for example two and for example three. So based on these three tables, what we can observe. First, let me show. Of course, we expect, of course, the ASSM should, you know, go to should approach to the two values. For instance, for example two should be three, and for relative estimate error, we expect this value, you know, approach to zero as fast as possible, right? And for coverage probability, we expect that go to 100%, right? And this incorrect, we hope it go to zero as possible, and the correct go to 100%. So overall, we can expect, we can conclude that, you know, the numerical performance is actually pretty consistent to our theoretical result. And also, with the sample size increase, you know, the coverage probability dramatically, you know, get much improved. For instance, for this, maybe next one. You know, for instance, you know, when from 50 to 200, you know, the coverage probability actually improved with about 88%. And on the other hand, you know, when the dimensional increase from 500 to 2000, of course the performance is worse, but not so bad. You know, even for one sample size with 100, you know, here is 48%, but here we have a 63%. So the effect of dimensional affect the result, but not as serious as the sample size based on our numerical simulation results. Okay, so let me go to example, maybe two minutes. Okay. So this real data come from north of China. We have a total 159 daily observation collected from June 26, 2008, and to the last day. And Y is our supermarket daily profit in log scale, and X bunch of predicted with the first component of X dummy variable associated with Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. Here we set up Monday as our as a benchmark. So overall, actually, we have over 700 dimensional X, and we have only have 160 observations. We believe the time U of the scale promotion actually should affect profit in nonlinear form. So for this data, we formulated one main set. So we used the 120 sample size for our model feeding, and therefore for the remainder 39 for our prediction evaluation. So we created some kind of moving windows. So these are our moving windows, and then we feed the data with the partial linear model and also linear model, and then we calculate the absolute prediction error with the fitted value minus observed value, and then we got the mean and the median based on 39 average prediction errors, and of course the results show us the profile for the regression is consistently and much better than the forward regression, and also the GU actually. Okay, the next slide show you. And based on our partial linear model feeding, actually we figure out four significant relevant variables, and the two actually are dummy variables associated with Saturday and Sunday. This is of course very intuitively, right? Because the weekend more people will go to shopping, and the other two are two food products are also significant. But I'm sorry, I forgot what kind of food. So this is very interesting for supermarket to advertise, and also this is a curve. Actually, this actually show the end of almost the holiday, very sense, right? But if we use the linear, this is almost horizontal, cannot show us this trend. So in this paper, we actually propose model screen approach for very high dimensional partial linear model, and we approved this procedure is screen consistent, but don't blame me because this maybe you think this is still too simple, so we can do more just like for partial linear additive model or single index model or generalized partial linear model, and we also need to deal with the data driven bandwidth selection issues because so far we just use empirically for bandwidth selection, so it's still a lot of open questions in this area. Thank you very much.